broadcasting live from our Ford Recovery Radio studios located in downtown historic Ford Recovery. You're listening to Sports Talk with Bo and Fee, which is powered by Wayne Street Market in historic Ford Recovery. Without further ado, here's your host and co-hosts, Mr. Bob Stogler and Mr. Harold Feely on Sports Talk with Bo and Fee.
And Bubba and Fee are not here tonight. They are both fighting a little bit of a what might be the beginning of a cold. So we're going to try to wing it here. We have Coach Brent Niekamp, the head coach of the football team, and also the athletic director. So we'll pump him for a whole bunch of information tonight. and a lot of people would say he's full of it.
Yeah,
and I meant information.
Full of information. Full of whatever. And they're right.
I'm pretty sure they're not. What do we want to talk about first? Volleyball last night and the last few days, or football, or what all's going on with anything in the athletic
department? There's a lot going on right now. We had our girls had a great match last night against Marion Local.
That was a great match.
Yeah. Beat them in three. The last two sets went, past 25.
Yeah, I think it was 27-26 and 28. Or 27-25 and 28-26 or
yeah,
something like that.
I think that's right.
I remember watching
and thinking, well, our girls are used to this because a couple, Monday they went 30-32 against South Adams up there.
So yeah.
We're no stranger to those kind of sets, but that was a heck of an accomplishment to get Marion in three.
Jeff Overholzer was announcing it for WPGW, and we were simulcasting. And the last time out before in that last match, he said, "Has Fort Recovery ever beat Marion in volleyball?" I said, "I'm sure they have, but I have no idea when."
Yeah.
And I think it's been quite a while. I know 2 years ago, we were pretty sure we were the better team, and they came in and beat us in three or four. At Fort Sight. So we've had better teams than them for sure, but it's been a while since we've beaten them, I think. There might be some of our fans out there that know that, and I might be smart enough to check my text and remember to do that, but if you want to call in 937-310-2781 on the Hastings Auto Hotline, if you know for sure last time we beat Marion Local, we'd appreciate that information. So something
else that was interesting in the league last night was every league match was a sweep.
Wow.
They were all 3-0.
Wow.
Every one of them. I couldn't believe it. When Don Kemper tweeted all the results, all of them were 3-0 matches.
And I don't remember exactly what the schedule was, but there weren't any, you might think that Delphus is a gimme against most teams, and maybe Parkway, even though Parkway's really good. But every other team, very few of them ever lose.
Yeah,
with not winning a set.
And I can't remember all the matchups right now off the top of my head, but
yeah.
But I remember thinking, man, that doesn't happen very often. Not in our league.
No.
Not with the competition level.
No.
There are
eight really good teams and two that don't have a good record in our league.
Yeah.
But won't beat anybody else in the state. So
Last night I made it there at the end of the JV match after getting done with practice. And, that one, of course, went three.
Yep.
And I thought, well, this is going to be an eight-set night. It's just going to be one of those, slobber knockers that goes five in the varsity match. And we did it in three. That was pretty awesome.
We were one dig away from either one of those two final matches being won by Marion and changing the momentum.
Yeah. Yep.
And if the momentum changes, you don't know how that next one's going. And, New Knoxville on Saturday at Fort Laramie, might have been at home. They played Fort Laramie. I think they were down two matches to none and came back and won 3-2.
Oh,
so,
really?
I know they ended up winning 3-2, and I know they lost the first match. So, you know, somewhere along the line, not having heard any of it, seen any of it, somewhere the momentum changed.
Yeah.
And once it gets rolling, it's really hard to stop the other team's momentum. It just is tough, especially volleyball. Oh, that happens in every sport.
It does in every sport, but I don't know any sport where it happens like volleyball,
yeah.
Where you can get rolling and it just kind of,
yep.
The set will just sort of take on a life of its own, and then yep. all of a sudden, you know, it's swung one way or the other, or yep. or it stops and swings back. It's just,
yeah,
it's incredible. And I think our girls and our coaches are doing a great job of, you know, learning how to control that as much as they can and get it going in their favor. You know, we got those really good senior girls and
yeah.
Paige Fort Camp and Hope Wendell and Kiki Wendell, and I think Coach Gungabiller is doing a great job at helping
yes.
them
yep.
get that, you know, consistent focus and determination in those tough matches. That we've played the best in the toughest matches we've had
yes.
so far that
yes.
I've seen.
Yeah, we you know, Parkway's a very good team, but we let them beat us one of those sets. And I think I saw it in the girls' eyes that they weren't very happy about that. And I don't know if that was from something that the coach said or if they just were a little upset at themselves and maybe each other. There's a couple of times when a ball would come across and two people would kind of look at each other thinking, well, are you going to take it? Am I going to take it? Then that didn't happen anymore.
Yeah.
Whether it's talking or just they decided to be aggressive, you know, it just changed a little bit. So, you know, I just wish people were allowed to come watch those games. Oh, they're so awesome.
They're a lot of fun.
They are so awesome.
Yeah.
And until we started broadcasting volleyball, I hadn't watched a volleyball game since we won the state championship in 1991. So, and I couldn't care less because I didn't understand it, didn't care about it. It just seemed kind of dumb.
I still don't understand it, but yeah. I've said it before. I love it when they hit the ball hard.
Yep. Yes. And I'll tell you, Marion Local had some girls that just pounded that ball so yeah. hard. And there'd be Kiara just tap it up, and Hope would set it, and we'd pound it back, and they'd save it and do the same thing back. There were some tremendous volleys in that match last night. So, in virtually every match, every set and match we have is just great. So, anything else we want to talk about with Volleyball St. Henry tomorrow night and Ottawa-Glandorf on Saturday?
We're at St. Henry tomorrow. We're at OG on Saturday. And those should be two really... Yeah. Really good matches. Really
what
good,
a week.
Good test for our girls. Yeah. Yeah. There's no rest. There's no rest for them.
You know, South Adams was a very worthy opponent. They were good.
Yeah.
They were very good.
They were scrappy. They really hung in there well in that
yes.
last set. They did a good job competing. But we always say it, and it's true, that those the tough schedule that we play in all these sports prepares us well for the postseason.
Yep.
I think that's going to be true for those girls too.
Yeah. We, you know, an easy match for us, if you're looking forward, is going to be only playing the number 10 team in the state. That's going to be our easy one on the schedule. You know, they're only number 10 in the state. We can beat them. So, yeah, it's crazy. I mean, it is fun to watch. While I'm thinking about that, we'll talk about some other stuff after let's take a little quick break and we'll kind of maybe shift gears to something else, maybe football or something. But we'll take a little break here and we'll be back in just a little bit.
Here are just a few of the great specials at Wayne Street Market now through September 24th. In their meat department, the grilling specials continue. Eckrich hot dogs are 2 for $3. 73% lean ground hamburger is just $2.49 a pound, loose or patties. And 80% lean ground chuck is only $2.99 a pound. and check out these steak prices. T-bones are just $5.99 a pound. New York strips are $6.49 a pound. And ribeyes are $6.99 a pound. And if your specialty is making wings, they have fresh jumbo wings all ready to go for your secret recipe. In a hurry but still want a great meal? They have delicious meal specials in their deli every day from open to close. Shop local and save at Wayne Street Market, the best meat market around.
Do you have that one room that is too cold in the winter or too hot in the summer? Need to send air or heat to an addition, basement, or garage, but getting it there seems impossible? Introducing Mitsubishi Multi-Zone Systems, your heating and air solution for one room or independent control of every room. Oh, did I mention Mitsubishi H21 systems are ductless and can be installed almost anywhere, even the ceiling? Get a $500 instant savings discount now at Reasoner Energy. Another problem solved by Reasoner Energy. 419-678-4888.
Hey, this is Stacy with Brick Street Tavern. We have added a couple new items to our menu. Spicy pickle fries, pizza bites, cauliflower pizza, and cheese curds. Stop up and try our new items or give us a call to get them to go.
The 2021 Win on the Wabash Super Raffle will be held August 27th and 28th, 2021, and will feature $650,000 worth of cash and prizes given away every 2 minutes from noon to 7 o'clock. Tickets for the 2021 Super Raffle will go for sale on October 3rd at 8 a.m. and can be purchased at Ambassador Park in Fort Recovery, Ohio, or through our website, wowraffle.com. Only 8,000 tickets will be sold and will sell for $100 each, and there is no limit on how many can be purchased per person. Check out all details for the sale of the Super Raffle tickets on our website or Facebook page, and mark your calendars for October 3rd to purchase your 2021 WOW tickets.
We're back here on Sports Talk. Bubba and Fee not in this evening, a little under the weather. And we're here with Coach Brent Niekamp and also Athletic Director Brent Niekamp. So did we kind of cover everything on volleyball? You want to talk any more about that? Or
well, I've already talked as much volleyball as I know. I know I like watching it, and I don't understand much about it. And sometimes it's fun just to be one of those blissfully ignorant fans, you know, that just, this is neat.
Yeah, it just enjoys the game.
Yeah.
So I do have kind of hear the volleyball MAC standings. New Knoxville and New Bremen are both still undefeated. New Bremen at 13-0 overall, and New Knoxville 11-0 overall. They're both at 4-0. Fort Recovery and Marion Local both at 3-1. St. Henry Minster at 2-2. Parkway and Versailles at 1-3, and Coldwater and Delphi St. John at 0-4. Coldwater with no wins. I was kind of looking through their record, and I think they've played of the four losses, three of them are the top three teams in the league. So, you know, they've lost four, but, you know, they're 6-6 overall. They're not as good as they have been in the past, but I'd put them up against about 80% of the teams in the state.
If I remember right, I don't think they have very many seniors, if any at all.
Yeah, so they might be a little...
They're kind of a young
team.
So
that might be one that'll be really dangerous at the end of the year.
Could be, yeah.
Because that happens a lot. Versailles, 1-3, you know, they're 2 years ago, they're state champs. The bottom of and Minster's 2-2. Those are teams that have been just outstanding in the past. So you know they have good programs. They're down a little bit, but part of that is because some of the top of the league is so far up this year that their record is a little bit off. So let's... football? Want to talk about football
sure,
now?
Sure.
You know anything about that?
Well,
got an inside track there, do you?
Whether I know anything is arguable, but I can talk about football for a long time.
Well, you know what went on with our team. So, what's your thoughts on the last game or the season or how things are going or the future? Any of that, all of that? Wherever you want to start, have at it.
Well, last game, Anna came to town. We beat them 24-7. And I feel like we're improving each week. You know, just the things that we look at as coaches, areas where we want to improve and, you know, get better, that are kind of, I don't know, they're kind of general things, you know. And then when you look at how we tackle, how we block, how we protect, you know, how we execute, you know, those things have definitely improved throughout the season. And, you know, that was only the second time in program history that we've ever beat Anna. So,
yeah,
you know, it's kind of one of those things where, you know, the talk this year is, well, Anna's really down. Well, they're young, you know, they're still a good program. They do a good job. Their kids play really hard and they know what they're doing. But they got some younger kids. They don't have the great athletes that they had last year, especially in the backfield, but really across the board, they had like 22 seniors. So, you know, that was a good quality win for us. And, you know, we took a step forward from the previous week at Coldwater, I thought. And I feel like we're set up pretty good now to go face a Versailles team that is formidable. They're good.
Yep. 10 years ago, they were awesome. They spent a few years being okay, then a couple of years in there, they weren't very good at all. And you know that's not going to last forever, and here they are back again.
Yeah, they're tough. They took, they're 3-1, and their one loss was to Marion Local.
Yep.
In overtime, and they lost 21-20 because they went for a two-point conversion in overtime, and they didn't make it.
Yep.
And so that's about as tight as it gets.
If I'd have been a Versailles fan, that's what I'd have been rooting for them to do. I don't know if that's always the best thing to do from the point of view of a coach, but that is what the fans, they want to just win that game. They don't want to tie and try it again.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's what the coach thinks, but that's...
Well, I think, you know, that's kind of an interesting scenario to talk about as a coach, because it really, there's a whole bunch of things that factor into it.
Yeah.
But it kind of goes into like, if you feel like you're the stronger, deeper team, then you probably want to keep playing longer, because eventually you can probably get them. If you feel like you may be a little bit of the underdog, then you try to steal it with one play if you can. So a lot of times, now I know Versailles wasn't on the road in that game against Marion, but a lot of times you'll see teams that might be a little bit of an underdog, or they're on the road, and they'll get in that position and they'll say, we're just going to go for two and try to get it right now. You know, we just got to win one play. Mm-hmm. And if we win one play, we win the game. And where you might see a team back off of that a little bit is if, you know, maybe they're at home. Maybe they, maybe they feel like they've kind of weathered the storm from a team that they feel like they're a little bit better than or a little bit deeper than, mm-hmm. and they want to keep playing. So, That's one of the cool decisions you get to make when they come up. And I've been on both sides of it.
Yeah.
I've been on it when it's gone well, and I've been on it where we've lost. And but that's the other team
does that to you, and sometimes it comes out.
Yeah, definitely. It doesn't. That's happened before. Yeah. What year was it now? Like 2011, Parkway got us that way. But then 3 or 4 years back, we had a big win at Minster. Going for two in overtime.
Yep.
So that's a fun scenario as a coach, and it's there's always the what ifs.
Yes. Absolutely.
If it works out for you, then you're the smartest guy in the world. If it doesn't work, then of course you shouldn't have done it that way.
Yeah, you're too dumb to coach.
Yeah. Yep.
You shouldn't have made that, or you shouldn't have listened to that stupid assistant coach that said we can make it. Or you should have listened to him when we
But anyways, you know, Versailles loses to a Marion team that we had a battle with and, you know, felt like we had our chances against. So, you know, I think as far as the matchup goes, it's a pretty good one. They got a nice offensive line. They got a really nice backfield. The Bay kid is their quarterback, and he's one of the top rushers in the league, I believe. I think as a team, they're the top rushing team in the league.
Oh.
So
do they do anything even slightly – off-kilter, tricky-ish, like last year, Anna had their quarterback and their great running back. Both were very good runners.
Yeah.
Coldwater kind of did that to us. Are they like that, or are they just kind of the one-dimensional with Bay, or do they do anything kind of?
Yeah, well, you know what? When you really look at teams, almost everybody's the same anymore in terms of what they try to do offensively. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, I don't know if it's a little bit of a copycat off of programs like Ohio State, or if it's just sort of if it's the best way to solve your problems as in terms of how to move the ball offensively. But almost everybody gets in a shotgun formation, and then they have the ability to run the ball with their running back or their quarterback. Mm-hmm. So you get a two-back running game out of a one-back set, which means you have four receivers to throw the ball to. And usually one of those guys is a tight end, so he can block too. But that puts a lot of stress on defenses because you got to cover all those guys. And you got to be good against the pass. Or otherwise, you know, you can't just leave people open. And then that stretches you a little bit thin to defend that extra runner in the quarterback in the backfield.
Yep.
So if you look throughout the league, and really, you know, if you look at college football, all around the country right now, that's a trend that a lot of people are going to, and Versailles is the same way. They got a nice running back, and I always mess up the names of the kids. You know, Versailles, I'm not as familiar with a lot of those names, but number 15 is a nice running back, and number 36, those are both guys that they use back there with Bay, number 6, their quarterback. But they do pretty much the same stuff that Coldwater does. Pretty much, you know, similar stuff that Marion did, similar stuff that Anna did. There's not that much variation week to week. Everybody tries to spread you out a little bit to get matchups and then see if they can run the ball with either of those guys. And if you stop them from doing that, then they try to throw, or they try to keep you off balance with both of those things. And, that's kind of what the league's evolved to. That's, you know, to a large degree, that's what we do. That's what Minster's done for years.
Yeah, they've been doing that quite a bit. I remember they were doing that wishbone thing, too, with, I can't remember who the coach was, and they did that for a few years.
Yeah, well, that was back with Eric Belcher, and then probably way before him, Ken Meyer, those guys.
Yep. So that in some years with the right personnel, that's worked extremely well for them. Other years, it works okay, but yeah.
Marion and St. Henry are a little bit more traditional in that old I formation, you know, power football. But even they spend a lot of time in that shotgun set with at least three receivers, and you know, using their quarterback as a runner. Mm-hmm. That's becoming important at every level.
So, I don't know if anybody from Versailles is listening, but on Friday night, I think maybe it was on Anna's first score. They only score, I guess. They were down about the 3 or 4 or 5 yard line, and quarterback was back in the shotgun. He went under center, got the ball, moved 3 or 4 feet. Bubba and Fee were announcing the game, and they said, "I just do that every play. You get 3 yards every play." So I guess, number one, do we have anything to stop that? And are we putting that into our game plan? And you do not have to answer either of those.
Well, if you do anything like that and it works a couple of times, then the guys on the radio are going to say they should do it every play. That is, if there's a certainty in sports, that's it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like when you go like, well, you threw the ball to this guy that one time and he scored. Well, you should throw it to him every time. It doesn't always work that way. They did a good job of getting low and moving the line for those quarterback sneaks. And yes, we do. We do have a little package that is designed. You know, we didn't get into it soon enough. I adjusted a little bit too late in that series, but I really don't think that That's going to be the factor in the game Friday, to tell you the truth.
Yeah. Yep. I believe you. But, and something like that, you know, if we play somebody in the playoffs, you know, that, you know, I don't know if we've thought about running that, but that isn't, like you say, it sure isn't going to win anything in our league, I don't think, but, might be something to sneak in there sometime. But, so what are you thinking on our chances of home games for the playoffs? My understanding is half of them will play at home, half of them will come to the higher seed. I think we have the print out there of the teams and their records in our region, but and we're basically right square in the middle right now. So what we do against Versailles and St. Henry will make a difference. But
what we do versus Versailles will make a difference. By the time we play St. Henry, the brackets will already be made.
Oh, okay.
Yep. So we're going to play Friday, mm-hmm. and then the coaches will vote on September 29th and 30th.
That's Tuesday, and Wednesday, yeah, a week from now.
Then the brackets will come out on the 1st. And what it sounds like is we will just be placed based on how the coaches vote. Yep. So the big question is, you know, obviously, whether or not we can beat Versailles Friday can mm-hmm. swing that potentially quite a bit in either direction. But a lot of it, too, is going to be dependent on what the different coaches look at in terms of our, I guess, our resume of our schedule.
Yes.
You know, mm-hmm. and, you know, yeah, we got some losses, and we've also played some pretty good teams. So, you know, how they decide to look at that. Yeah,
so far we've lost 2 games to undefeated teams.
Yeah.
And the sales, if we would happen to lose to them, they only have 1 loss, but we're not going to lose to them, so it's going to be in our favor. But you know, you have to think that let's assume we beat Versailles and the brackets are set and we're 3-2. I would have to think that we would be maybe thought of a little more highly than even some 4-1 teams, depending on who they may be and who they've played.
Well,
but you don't, you never know that.
It's possible. It's possible. It just depends on, you know, how those other coaches look at it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's the kind of stuff that for me and for the team, for the players, you know, it doesn't do us 1 ounce of good to focus on that stuff for a second, because it doesn't have anything to do with how we execute and play on a Friday night.
Yeah.
And that was actually something we talked about last week, because I think our guys got a little bit, I don't want to say that, you know, they were overlooking a team. But I think I don't think they had, you know, quite the right mindset in terms of competing and what that's about. You know, what you do in between the stripes and in between the whistles against your opponent, compared to people on a talk show talking about it.
Yes.
It's 2 different things, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And, you know.
We want it because even though most people can't go to the game, we want a home game.
Oh, yeah.
People in town want to hear that.
We do, too. That, we want a home game.
But you'll go anywhere and play anybody.
Yeah, but and really the path to that is just playing as well as you can, you know, down after down, week after week. And then the home games and the rankings and all that stuff, that takes care of itself. But, the you know, for the players and the coaches, you know, the focus always has to be on the task at hand and competing and playing at a really, really high level. And I was really happy with Friday, how our guys came out the second half and were super competitive and really, like they got their minds right in terms of how they needed to approach the game. 'Cause one of the things that I think is easy to lose sight of, and we spoke about it at halftime. I talked to him about it again after the game, is, you know, part of doing your best is the respect you have for your opponent. Like, you don't want to treat anybody like your little brother.
Right.
And take it easy on them. Because, and you would never want anybody to do that to you. I mean, that's disrespectful to us as competitors, right? So, you know, it a lot of people won't look at it this way, but to really give your opponent the respect they deserve is you better try to beat him as bad as you possibly can every single game, every play, every, you know, you do your best. And then however it turns out after that is the way it turns out. But you don't do your opponent any favors by thinking, well, they're not as good, and you take that. That's not competition. And you know, if I ever felt like anybody did that to me, I'd be upset. I'd be ready to fight, because that's not what it's about.
Yeah.
So the idea that really hard competition is respecting your opponent. That is really what it is. You got to give them your best, and they're going to give you their best, and you really find out who's better. Yep. That's what it's all about.
Yep.
And that's what makes it so fun. So, you know, getting into who's going to be ranked what and all that, that's all just external stuff. That doesn't have anything to do with getting between the white stripes and the whistle blows, and you find out who's better. Yep. And that's really the fun part.
Yep. Well, especially since everybody makes the playoffs this year. You know, people like me that we don't know about the game, but we're selfish. We want to have the home game because it's better for us. You know, we're going to keep on doing that, Brent.
I know. That's our job. That's what fans do. That's what the radio's for. I understand all of that. And it's fun.
Yeah.
And it's fun, but it's also something that with kids and competing, you have to get them to understand that stuff on a different level, that it's not talking about it and predicting and guessing that's important. What's important is doing it.
Yep.
and you know what you do on the field,
and
that's really, you know, that's the part that you remember.
Let's take another quick break. We'll come back with some more stuff with Brent. We'll just kind of see where we want to go from here, so be back in just a little bit.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canope from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. What is it about how a well-manicured lawn looks? Well, ask anyone who owns a Simplicity, and they will tell you what it is. Pride. What's the secret? Simplicity tractors have an innovative free-floating mower deck with full-width rollers that follow the contours of your lawn and deliver a precision cut. Not to mention the ability to create eye-catching, ballpark-style striping patterns, sure to get everyone's attention. Take pride in how your lawn will look and visit K&L Tractor to test drive a Simplicity today.
Hi, my name is Connor Rammel with Fort Recovery Insurance. For years now, you've heard that Fort Recovery Insurance Agency has something for everyone, and if you need insurance, we do. When you choose Fort Recovery Insurance, we take you inside our fort to find the best plan to protect your home, business, farm, auto, and family from the risks you'll face in today's world. When it's time for a new insurance plan, don't depend on just anyone. Depend on Ohio Mutual and Fort Recovery Insurance Agency. Call us today at 1-888-375-4181.
Hello, I'm Harold Feely, owner of Hastings Auto Sales and Service in Fort Recovery. As fall approaches, time for football, pumpkins, and getting your vehicle ready for cooler weather. Your maintenance appointments will include testing your battery and checking all fluid levels. We will also check your brakes, tires, belts, wipers, hoses, and all your lights. Give us a call here at Hastings Auto Sales, 419-375-4617, for all your automotive needs.
Here are the sports broadcasts coming up the rest of this week on Fort Recovery Radio. Tomorrow, our Lady Indians will travel to St. Henry in yet another big MAC matchup. We'll simulcast WPGW's broadcast of that match. On Friday, it'll be football at Versailles, with Jeff and Joe bringing us all the action live, with the pregame show starting around 6:40, and the NFHS network will be available. On Saturday, it'll be another tough volleyball match as the ladies travel to Ottawa-Glandorf with the JV match starting at 11 a.m. and Fort Recovery Radio will bring you the varsity match. Lots of sports this week, and you can hear it all right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
We're back on Sports Talk with Coach Brent Niekamp. Bubba and Fee, a little under the weather, so they're not here with us tonight. But do we want to talk about anything more on football, or want to move on to other sports, or whatever? However you want to,
yeah,
whatever you know, direction you want to go.
One before we should move on to some other sports too, but you know, talking about what we were just discussing as far as. You know, guys getting used to really competing and understanding how that works. You know, I think that's gone a long ways into helping our depth as a team. And maybe the opposite is true, or maybe they work together, that our success has come from our depth. And what I mean by that is, like, you know, before we had much success as a program, we didn't have a lot of guys hang around if they weren't going to play varsity their junior year. It was just kind of like, it was almost like a status thing. Like, I played JV as a sophomore. If I don't play varsity when I'm a junior, I'm going to hang it up because the writing's on the wall and blah, you know. But I can think of so many players who were JV players as juniors and maybe played some special teams on Friday nights, who then developed into really good players their senior year. And, you know, especially, you know, a special team like that was our state championship team.
Yes.
Where
there were like three or four of those
guys. There was Ross Homan. There was Speedy Shane.
Yep.
There was Kalen Rockwood.
Oh, yeah.
I have a special place in my heart for those kind of guys because I really feel like they develop the backbone of your team. And right now we have some guys like that are really contributing well. You know, we got a Riley Heiser who's coming in and giving us good carries, and is able to play some defense here and there.
Mm-hmm.
Even a kid like an Isaac Kanapke is playing special teams for us.
Yep.
And giving spots here and there. And then those guys, see, they do that. And then those guys go and play on Saturday mornings and they provide leadership and they learn how to lead. They learn how to be the dependable, tough guys that the other kids can rely on and rally around when the games are hard. Owen Wenning's another guy that comes to mind.
Yep.
Who's a junior who is, you know, he's going to get a handful of plays on Friday nights and then they got to play on Saturday mornings and they got to develop and they got to learn and they got to, you know, learn how to lead those younger players. So, I feel like those guys, continue to be important to our program. And I thought I wanted to definitely say something about them because, you know, and you can't take away anything from guys like Clay Schmitz and Gavin Toby and Regan and Derek Judy and those guys that make a lot of plays, you know, all the time. You know, a Kale Rammel that's, you know, starting as a sophomore and doing a great job. But the, you know, every team has their three or four studs. They're really good players.
Mm-hmm.
And when we had teams that weren't very good, we still had those guys.
Right.
But what we didn't have was that backbone of guys who, you know, developed, you know, maybe they were a late bloomer,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, came out their senior year, stuck it out when they may have played JV for 3 years and then were real contributors. And, you know, helped us be successful because we had so much more depth with those guys. And we have some of that on this team. And then that might be the thing for me that is the most exciting because you have that component that can help make things, you know, really successful.
Yeah. And you know, there's just a number of kids like that, that if they just hang in there, they're going to get their turn and they're going to be Speedy Shane. They're going to be Tanner Cook. They're going to be those guys that were kind of, you know, you see them every once in a while when they were juniors and you're thinking, Well, they look pretty good, but you know they're not going to get to play because who's every play because the people that are in there are so much better. But then you catch the thing where those seniors are gone, and it's the next man up.
Yeah,
and you kind of knew that if somebody got hurt, the next man was going to be good, and that happened for Will Homan when he was a sophomore.
When
Kyle got hurt, you know. Before that, we had was it Cole Hall.
Yeah,
but Cole Hall was quick, fast. He was the best running back we ever had. Then Kyle Scherr comes along. He was quicker, faster, best running back we ever had. He got hurt. Here comes Will, and you know. Player of the year.
He was okay.
Year. Yeah. You know, so, you know, next man up, you don't know when that guy's going to get hurt, and you have to be ready. You know, it didn't happen for Speedy. It didn't happen for Tanner. It didn't happen for several of those guys their junior year. But when it came their turn senior year, man, were they – they were there. Yeah. They knew what they were doing. They knew what they were supposed to do, and they just did it.
And two guys I'm really proud of right now that are – They came from that mold, who are seniors, who are doing a great job as, you know, that role player, that guy that, you know, was playing on Saturdays last year, and now he's a starter. You know, one of them is Jake Bechtel on the offensive line at guard, and the other one's Devin Neron playing defensive tackle for us.
Yeah.
And those are both guys that you watch develop and come through the program, and they're going into their senior year, and you really do root for them because they're coming through things the hard way, and both of those guys have done a great job thus far this year. I'm trying to think through the depth chart. I hope I don't forget any of those and anybody like that. But I think
your depth chart is pretty deep, so you can forget some people, but you don't want to. But yeah,
but those two seniors stand out as definitely those kind of guys, and they make a big difference on your team.
Yeah, I am not good at watching the line do anything. I'm one of those fans that I watch the football, but I hear what Jeff Hobbs and Joe Brunn say, and they are calling Bechtel's and Neron's name a lot. This guy made a great block. He did his job. You know, and you don't hear linemen's names very much, but you get to hear those guys' names and several other ones, of course. Those guys that you were mentioning that you know, put in their time when, 10 years ago, those guys were quitting the program.
Yeah.
And once we got those, especially since there were three really good ones and maybe even more than that year we won the state, that shows people that you can bide your time. And when it's your time to step up, whether it's from injury or from them moving on, you're ready to go and you're ready to do exactly what you're supposed to do and help your team out. So that kind of thing is really, really awesome. I love it when we get to see players like that.
Yeah, I think if I could point to one thing, you know, there's lots of factors in our success, you know, through that time. But if I could point to one thing, that would be it, is that those guys hung around and made an impact as seniors.
I think
in the past, you know, maybe they don't. Maybe you don't ever get a chance to find out, you know, what could have been with this guy or that guy.
I think a group of kids in that class or a class or two ahead or behind of them said, we know we have enough talent here. We just have to – we're going to go, and we're going to go do it, and we're going to stick with it. And I think a little camaraderie and peer pressure and everybody hung with it, and the outcome was absolutely awesome. So we threw the football. We got anything else you want to throw in there that we hadn't?
Well, I think we should probably mention the cross country and golf teams recently. Cross country ran Saturday at Chenoweth Trails, and it was at the Black Hawk Invite. And I don't know if it was the first one that they ever had there or the second one, But I guess there's a great sort of park down there. I don't know if it's like a camp area. The kids loved running there, and they did really well. The girls won the meet. Off the top of my head, I can't remember the boys' ranking, but I know, you know, they're having a good year, and they're let's see, they're going to be starting up their tournament time in October. This weekend they go to Versailles and have a meet there, and then the following week they're at Indian Lake. But they got like 4 weeks left of regular season, and then they're going to be going into the postseason. And our golf teams are getting ready to go into the postseason this coming week. They have the MAC match on Saturday. Let me get this right. The girls, I believe, are at Stillwater.
You only have 17 schedules you have to keep in your head. High school, junior high.
I got to write stuff on my hand. I got to write it on my arm. I believe the girls are at Stillwater, and the boys, I think the boys are at the Elks. And if I have that wrong, I apologize. But And then next week, they have the sectionals for both the boys and girls. So the girls sectionals, and I know this because I was looking at it today and doing some paperwork with it. The girls are at the Salina Links on Tuesday. The tee times they're kind of staggered and stuff, but it's going at 9 o'clock in the morning, and the boys are at the Colonial Golf Club over by Allen East, or not? Yeah, Allen East.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Past Allen East High School, up kind of in, I guess, I don't know, close to Lima, not too close, but that's on Thursday, and they also start that whole event starts at 9 o'clock. One thing that's different this year because of COVID and everything, and it's going to be a work in progress with everybody. And definitely me included, is all the postseason games tickets are going to be sold online. So I'll get a link from the OHSAA that I'll share with the coaches, along with a code to make sure that the parents can buy tickets. And there's, you know, of course we have limitations just like we've had all season.
Yep.
But it's all going to be online. It's all going to be automated. There will be no money at the door for any of the events. There will be no tickets to buy at the door for any of them. It'll all be ahead of time. As I get that information, I'll be pushing it out to the coaches. And
but it will. There won't be, for all intents and purposes, no general public sales for any of this. Is that correct?
No. If you don't have the link in the code, you won't be able to buy tickets.
So that will be given to the
it'll go through
to the participants or their families.
Correct.
As they're allowed. So,
correct.
So
and then based on the number of tickets they get, you know, who they want to invite is totally up to them. But
right.
Yeah, it won't be a public thing.
Yeah. So I don't need to know that. Rocker doesn't need to know that, because we need to know that the parents are a really huge chance that the parents are going to get to see the competition, but the rest of us are just not. And that's, you know, that's how life's been
just,
for
just
the last
where we are.
6 months.
Yeah.
It's awful. You know, there's so many people that, you know, can you imagine if this had happened when Norb Metzger was alive and he could go to a game? He hadn't missed a game since 1955.
Yeah. But, on one hand, I when I start thinking of that, then on the other hand, I think, you know, but we're playing.
That is
the kids are competing.
Absolutely right.
You know, the kids are able to get out there and compete. And, you know, some of us that are used to going to games all the time, we just can't. And that's, my folks have seen fewer football games than they have in the past.
Yeah.
My family has, and lots of families have. And it's, you know, we roll with it. The bottom line is those kids are playing and competing and learning and, you know, getting the experience that's so valuable that comes with high school sports. And I'm glad, every time I get tempted to complain about it, I just try to think of that and think, yep. I'm glad that that's still happening. Yep. And we're still able to provide that experience for these kids, these athletes.
Yeah, and I'm really happy that you keep reiterating that, because I do remember when we were talking about it, I think right before the season started, here on Sports Talk, and I don't know if it was Bubba or me or Harold that were kind of lamenting all of that, and that line, but the kids are playing.
Right.
And that's everything.
Yeah.
It killed me not to be able to watch baseball this spring. I'm in a fortunate situation where we broadcast the things so I can be at those games, but I'm sitting there thinking, all of these people that used to be at these games, wouldn't they love to be here?
Yeah.
And there's so many that can't, and our teams are doing well, and I'm used to, whenever I'm saying anything, I'm used to saying, if you're at home and sitting there, get up, get to the gym, you have to watch this. And I can't, you can come stand outside the door and hear him holler, but you can't go in. It's but the kids are playing, and that says everything.
Yeah,
that's the biggest thing.
It's definitely a win, looking back at late July and early August.
Yeah.
And if you would have told me then this is where we would be now, I would say that's pretty good.
Yeah.
We're still hanging in there. We're still playing and moving towards a postseason, and that's great.
I didn't think we would be playing when the Big Ten and the Pac-12 went out.
Yeah.
I was thinking the very next day, the rest of the Power Five are going out and college football's done. Notre Dame will win the national championship because they're the only team that didn't cancel their season.
Yeah.
So the other ones hung in there, and now the Big Ten is back. Don't know what the Pac-12 is going to do. I haven't heard anything. I thought they were going to have a meeting yesterday or today. But so those other ones hung in there. And so I think if that domino had fallen with those other ones going out, OHSAA, the governor, probably would have said, nope, done. But since they hung in there, I think that helped. I don't know exactly anybody's thinking at all, but I think if those other dominoes had fallen.
Well, I was afraid we were getting close to that.
I think we're really close.
But I'm glad we're not. I'm glad we're here, plugging along.
Yep.
With all the all the hoops to jump through.
Yes.
We got a chance to jump through them, so we're going to jump.
Yeah. not only you as the coach, but as the athletic director, hoop after hoop. And, I know Stacy Locks does a lot of things for you, and how could you survive without people like that doing it? I mean,
don't tell anybody, but Stacy's really the boss. No, she's,
I don't think we have to tell anybody.
Everybody can figure that out on their own. No, she's tremendous. She does so much.
An organized person helping can just change the whole way everything works. So, that is great.
Somebody else I wanted to mention, it's kind of a tough year for him, is our girls golf coach, Joe Bruns. He's battling some health problems, and his daughter, Jalen's having a great year. She's set the school record already. And Joe's good friend, Jeff Vaughn's been helping us out with the girls golf team. And Joe is somebody who's so close to me and a special person to me, because he was my coach in high school, and he was one of those people that helped me experience this stuff on a really high level, and to kind of see how great high school sports can be, what it's all about, competing and going to work every day and trusting your teammates and building those relationships with teammates and coaches. So I know Joe's having kind of a tough time, and praying and hoping for the best for him, and hoping for those girls to do well in the tournament, because I know he's pulling for them really hard. you know, whether that's at home or wherever. But Joe, hope you're doing well. And girls, good luck this week.
Yep. And I believe I heard somebody say that Joe has coached virtually every sport that we have at our school.
Yeah.
He's helped with every sport.
If I don't do anything else of worth as athletic director, I'm going to create an award and for Joe, because he did. I know for a fact he's coached every sport but swimming. And
he would do that if they needed him.
He probably would.
He would know what he was doing, but he would be an encouraging person who has been in competition and knows how to win.
I think every sport but swimming and cross country. That's a lot of them.
Volleyball?
Yeah, he did volleyball.
I'm not surprised.
Did volleyball.
Yeah, I'm not. Yep. I'm not even remotely surprised. That's the one I was thinking he might not have done, but yeah.
He's one of those guys that always steps up to those kind of situations, and guys, people like that are invaluable to our school and community.
Yep. Yeah. Sure. That's absolutely correct. You know, came from a great family. He's a great person. Has great kids. Every one of his kids is just outstanding people. So, anything else we want to cover tonight, Coach?
I think I'm pretty well spent.
Rocker, you have any questions for the coach or for anybody?
I just want to kind of give a shout out, or more of a, if you would, hairball.
Oh, got a hairball. That's for cats.
Send some prayers out to my cousin.
Oh, yeah?
They are going to take her off life support tomorrow.
Oh, man.
So send some prayers to her family. And
is that around here?
My mom's side.
Mom's side over in Indiana.
Yep. So this is the second hit we've taken on that side.
Yep.
So it seems like I've been hit quite a bit lately for that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, as far as questions, I've had umpteen people ask me, and you kind of talked to about before, about the, you don't get better by playing crappy teams, right?
You get a better record, but you don't get a better team. Yeah. You're not a better.
But you don't get a good feeling about that deep down,
right?
So I've had somebody, I won't mention his name.
Oh, so we know it's a guy.
But I was told that if Fort Recovery would move to, let's say, the Tri-County Conference, we would be a better team.
We would have a better record, maybe.
Yeah, we wouldn't be a better team at all.
I don't know that we would have a state championship trophy in our trophy case if that happened.
Well, they did their talk, and I kind of stayed in my little corner.
It depends on what it depends on how you define better team, better program.
Yeah.
Well, and I always went to the moniker of, okay, you don't get. I mean, like I said, you don't get better by playing crappy teams. I mean, you have a better record, like you said, but okay, let's say you go undefeated in that lower conference. Well, you come playoff time, when you actually got to play somebody, you're going to get your butt handed to you,
Covington.
Most likely.
Covington's a perfect example there. They've been in the Cross County League for a long time. They dominate it almost every year. They're a really good team. They play the third or fourth place MAC team and get beat 40-10. You know, it's just they haven't played the competition, so they don't know what it takes. And it just,
I just don't understand the mentality behind that thought.
They want a winning record, and you know that. 10 years ago, it had been discussed here, and it had 2 or 3 years ago, it had been discussed at New Bremen. Got to either stop playing football or play in a different league because you're just getting beat up.
But is that, okay, back in the time, I say, what was it, 10 years ago, when Versailles was winning that division?
Yeah.
And then they would go, well, they won quite a few state championships in that time, too. But
in the early 90s, yeah.
But then they came to MAC, and they really haven't, you know.
Yeah, they've had some good years. They haven't been dominant like that. But, they were one of those teams that played in a different league and was actually really, really good.
They won a state championship in 2003, and that was their second or third year in the league. And then Al Hetrick retired after 2005, And they had a great team in 2005, a good enough team to go to state, but they kind of slipped up and lost to LCC early in the tournament that year. And then since then, they've been back and forth, but they've had some playoff teams. I mean, people, having a state championship team doesn't just happen.
No, it's like, a lot of practice.
That's not something you're entitled to every couple of years.
Yeah.
Some schools go 50 years and don't have one.
Right.
I mean, if you have one, you're fortunate.
Yes.
If you have multiples, then you're really, really, really fortunate. And I think that's something people get mixed up when they think, well, this is just supposed to happen. Well, it doesn't just happen. Championships don't just happen.
It almost sort of does in the MAC, but, you know, that's not true for every team. But, you know, I think we're down to...
But I would also say don't ever take that for granted.
Absolutely.
Oh, no, it's...
No, yep.
In this division, it's the toughest division at all in my book.
Well, our league is, for sure. Now, as far as the toughest around, you know, we're not... They're at Marion Local can't go beat Trotwood Madison last year. I don't care. Both of them won state championships. And Marion Local is great, but they're not going to beat one of those higher... they're not going to beat Cincinnati Molar. They're just not.
Okay, had this been a normal year, would we've been playing somebody like out in the boondocks like we did a couple years ago, like the Trotwood, not Trotwood Madison, but like
Jefferson or one of those or someone like that. Well, you know, we had.
I don't know what you mean, right?
Because you know, normal times we have the slip-in teams.
Well, there are non-league games. There's weeks 1 and 2, we play non-league games. Yep. This year, that was going to be Lehman.
In Valley View. Which, right. Those are... Lehman has been down the last couple of years, but Lehman's been... Has a very good history.
Lehman's been a good program
Valley
for
View
years and years.
Has a number of state championships. They're down from what they've been, but that's a really good game for us because if you're dealing with points, if we win that game, we have a lot of non-league points.
Yeah,
and those are so we've finally been able to get quality teams on our schedule. Used to be nobody wanted to play us because we weren't going to win enough games for them to get any points playing us. Now, if they can happen to beat us, they're going to get lots of points off of us.
So right? How many points do we get by playing, let's say, the non-league ones?
It depends. Valley View more because they're a higher division, mm-hmm. and it depends on how many games they win.
Yeah, so we don't have to deal with. I was thinking one of the teams before. I can't think of who it was. I think
did we play a team down in Cincinnati at one time?
Oh yeah, way down, north end of Cincinnati.
Was it Molar?
No. This was like a Cincinnati Christian.
Oh, okay. Kind
of, one of the teams that's Greenview. We went down there one of the first years we played.
1994.
Yeah, thank you. And played them, and hoping to come out of there without getting hurt, and actually beat them. And I think they had an all-state running back or something candidate, and we beat them. So, if we would have kept playing them, they haven't had much since then. So we could. That would be a gimme. We're going to go win the game. But did you get any points off of it? No. You didn't really help yourself. So you got to play some games and nobody got hurt, and that's about all you can say about something like that. You need to play competition. If you want to be the best, you got to beat the best. And that's kind of is how we've been looking at most of our scheduling, and a lot of people look at our volleyball coach and say, why are you playing these, I think, two defending state champions in the same year, maybe three? Well, we don't want to go play.
That's because they want to take the next step forward.
Yeah, they don't want to play some easy team that they know they're going to beat 25-2 in three straight matches. They didn't really do anything.
And you don't make yourself struggle that much. I mean, I think if you work yourself out, it helps you get better, I think.
Definitely. Yeah, you need competition to get better. Because you can think you're really, really good if you're playing against third graders, and then you go play the junior high kids and
yeah.
get your butt beat. You know,
Something I like to tell our players a lot is that your opponent is your best friend, because they're your most honest critic. There, if you want to find out how good you are or how good you aren't, a good opponent is going to tell you.
Yep.
And nobody else will be as honest as they will about it. You want to find out what your weaknesses are?
Yep.
Play against them and they'll show you.
Yep.
And that's good, because that allows you to get better.
Yeah. So you think you're really, really good about with doing this and this and this, and then you play somebody that can stop you doing this. You think, well, when we go play this next team that's even better, we have to come up with a better plan. So anything else you want to throw in there, Coach?
I think it's or Mr. AD. Close to time to hit the dusty trail for
All
me.
All righty. Well, we hope Bubba and Fee are feeling better, and be back next week for Coach Brent Niekamp and the Rocker. We'll see you next week.
Listening to Sports Talk with Bubba and Fee, broadcasting live from the Miracle Lane Studios in historic Fort Recovery, Ohio. Talk with Bubba and Fee was brought to you in part by community-minded sponsors and the sports department of this radio station. FortRecoveryRadio.com is the home of the Fort Recovery Indians.